I want to read in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Verse 5.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding.
In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones.
Honor the Lord with thy substance,
and with the first fruits of all thine increase.
So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now let us look further in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6.
Yes. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God,
praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all
saints. Now let us read in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And reading verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves to them, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. Pray for us, for we trust that we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you, the rather, do this, that I may be restored to you sooner. Our last reading in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and reading from verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, I have read five scriptures that I would like to think of as a recipe in relation to our Christian living, things that present themselves to us every day, and especially to those who are starting out in the Christian life. Some of us are pretty well over the hill. Brother DeLandria seems to guard that as a secret, but he doesn't know that I know how old he is. Within a few months, anyway. But there's no trouble for me to tell you that this coming Wednesday I'll be 73, and I've been on the way now for 53 years. And we feel that we're in that stage now where you kind of, I don't know, I've been reading the Book of the Kings recently, and you know, one thing that struck me was that in their old age, they went astray. They seemed to falter, and that's something that we all have to
watch against as we get older. You know, the exuberance of youth soon leaves you. And one thing that struck me in coming to this conference, as I look around out there in the entrance, I see so many young people. And you know, it just thrills my soul to see at our conferences so many young men and young women. And you'd like to be able to just pick them up and carry them all right through to the end of the journey, and that they could finish their course with joy and finish up for God. But you know, dear young people, we want to speak to you this afternoon. It's a tremendous thing for God to save a sinner and give you a life to live for Him and leave you in this world, as you've been hearing, for one purpose, and that is to please God. That's what God saved us for. And these simple things that I'm going to mention this afternoon could be a recipe to you for Christian living as how you're going to end up for God. Now there's a little word there. Maybe you've heard me speak on this before. I sometimes do preach things over. But you know, I was encouraged the other night in the Bible reading. A brother said, "Keep at it, brother." He said, "I have heard you go over that for the last 20 years. Something that we have repeated." And he said, "I just got it last week." He just got it last week. And he had heard me going over it for 20 years. And brethren, you preaching brethren, don't be afraid to go over and over. Peter said, "I can get meat as long as I'm in this body, this tabernacle, to put you in remembrance by stirring up your pure mind by putting you in remembrance." If there are things that are important, they're worth repeating. Now, my wife, she has a little place in the cupboard, and she some books there, and she calls them her recipe books. And when she goes to make a cake, some of you, I would make a cake, I wouldn't even look at the book, and you know how it would turn out. But when she goes to make the cake, she follows the recipe, and she follows the direction. Now, if I was making it, I might leave out some of the ingredients. You ever sit down to eat your breakfast, and someone makes the porridge, and you take the first spoonful, and there's some little thing. Oh, the meal is all in there, but there's some little thing was left out. And what was it? You know what it was. It was that little pinch of salt. Oh, it was the smallest portion. There was more water and there was more meal. But there was that little pinch of salt, and you say, "Now, that's insipid. There's something wrong with it. It doesn't taste right. There's something lacking. What is it?" Today, someone says, "We forgot the salt." Well, I want to think of that as a little word that comes into these scriptures that I have read here. The first one I want to think of is a recipe or a rule for guidance. In all thy ways, there you have the song. In all thy ways, that little word, all. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Now, dear young people, starting out in life, to live your life for God, this is a must. If you're going to make progress for God, and you're going to finish your course with joy, as Paul said, "I want to finish my course." And at the end he says, "I have finished my course." Now, the scripture here says, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." What does it mean? It just means that there's no way in a Christian's life that they can afford not to acknowledge God. Do you have a little corner locked off in your life that you don't acknowledge God in? Some little secret nook in your life, and you won't take God into your confidence. Oh yes, when you want a job. Oh yes, when you want to get married. You want to have God's guidance then. When you want to move someplace. You want to buy or build a house. You want to have God's guidance then. But it says, "In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." Now, I found this in my Christian experience, that it's the little things in life that trains us to look after the bigger things in life. You don't take God into your confidence in the little things in your life, How are you going to know when you have a big decision to make? In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. A recipe for guidance in your Christian life. Now, you're starting out, you just got saved. Thank God. I can tell you, and I've often told you, the old stump that's been rotting away, I could take you, I often thought of getting dear Brother Russell when we go back. I can't realize that he's older than I am. I don't mind his health. But we were boys once together. I've often thought of going back into the woods and see if I could find that old stump on the woodrow. Where, as a young Christian, I'd get down on my knees and I'd ask God to direct my way. And up on the hayloft, when there were nobody but God and myself, up there in the secret, this is a real burden to my soul. God, I don't want to miss my way. I want to make my way count for God. And I had those secret places. Now, as I told you in times gone by, on the way to the woods, to the bush to cut wood. We didn't have chainsaws. We had an old double-bitted axe. And we used to sharpen it up and sharpen it well. And as we put that axe over our shoulder and start for the bush, when I'd come to that stump, when I'd be alone, I'd stick the axe down in the snow, and I'd get down on my knees, and I'd ask God, oh, I can remember those days of communion. I know what God wanted me to do that day. He wanted me to chop wood. I had the axe there. I knew what he wanted me to do that day, but I didn't know what he wanted me to do 10 years from that. And that's what I was interested in. Now, dear young Christian here today, here's your life. It's in the formative stage. And God has a plan for your life. And if you miss that plan, you miss everything. And that's why it's so important. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. The little things that you do as a Christian. Where you spend your weekends. Where your fellowship in the assembly. Your companionship. Oh, this is so important. Your young Christian, your companionship. You know so many. As we look back over life, we can see some made shipwreck of the faith just because of companions. It's a tremendous thing, you young people growing up, and you're single, it wouldn't be natural if you didn't expect that someday you would have a partner in life. But whatever you do, young boy or young girl, whatever you do, make this a matter of serious prayer and a definite exercise before God. Who you're going to marry, or whether you're going to be married at all. I can remember at that stump telling God I'm single. I had read stories of David Livingstone, and it would do any Christian good to read the story of David Livingstone and the exercise he had for God now he went to Africa. And I'd say to God, I'm single, and I'd go to Africa. And I thought it'd be a noble thing to go to Africa. I go to some place, some missionary field. And it is. But you know, God never sent me to Africa. I could have bundled up maybe and got away from the opposition of where I lived and gone to some school someplace and get into some kind of a training and gone to Africa as a missionary or some foreign field and missed God's plan for my life. I want to tell you, dear young Christian, you acknowledge God in all your ways and he'll never send you to a Bible school. You acknowledge God in all your ways and he'll direct you to God's assembly. You acknowledge God in all your ways and he'll direct you to the right one that's going to be a help to you throughout your life as a believer or in active service. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. One of the most serious things in your life as a young believer, boy or girl, here today, young person, teenager, coming up into your 20s. Watch your company.
somebody here today, I'm going to tell this little story, and I'm not going to look where they're sitting, as you might guess. But this, I think I got it pretty much straight, the way I heard it anyway. This young man saw this girl, he wasn't saved. He saw this young Christian, and she was a fine-looking Christian, and still is quite presentable today. And he thought, my, that'd be a nice girlfriend for me. And so, he had just come home from a distance, and he didn't know all the setup, but some of his folks were saved. So he asked this young lady if she would go out for a ride with him. And he said, well, where will we go? Well, he didn't know as long as he went. That was the most important thing. She says, we'll go to a meeting. Well, where's the meeting? Well, the meeting was up in Freetown, and we were just starting in there. And it just happened that Brother Herb Harris was there that night as a stranger passing through. He didn't know anyone, only some of us Christians that were older. And so as the meeting went on, we had a Bible reading. I think it was a Bible reading that night. And he was going over some things. He came to that little word, watch. And this young couple were sitting there, Christian girl and an unsaved man. And when he went over, now he says, here's a good way to, a good acrostic for you to remember. And it's good for you to remember. He says, watch. Take it like this, he said. Watch your words. Stop it. Watch your words. As a Christian. A. Watch your actions. T. Watch your thoughts. C. Watch your company. My, just like a bolt from the blue, that young Christian girl. Watch your company. He's sitting beside an unsaved young man. We're home that night, he wanted to make another date. And she said, look, you're not saved, are you? He said, no, but I'd like to be. Well, she said, I can't go out with you until you get saved. He said, I'm a Christian. And the scripture says, be not unequally yoked together. Watch your company. And that young man went home. She gave him some gospel tracts. While he was reading one of those gospel tracts, God saved him. He came back the next day. Well, of course, you'd have a big question mark too. But he was really saved, and he's here this afternoon. But what was it? It was a little word from God. What's your company? Now, dear young brother or sister, you go over that. What's your words? What's your actions? What's your thoughts? What's your company? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So you want to know the will of God? Know what it is to put in that little word all. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, the next one is, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Here is a recipe for prosperity as a Christian. Not that God might make you a millionaire, but if you want to prosper as a Christian, and you want to make the very best of what God gives you, you give God his portion first. This is a ministry that we refrain from. And I think we cheat God's people when we don't minister that every Christian is expected by God to give God his portion. In the Old Testament, they gave a tenth. In the New Testament, is as a man purposeth in his heart, so let him give. He says here, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Don't forget the little word all. All. You heard me tell about the man and his wife. And things were going pretty well. He had a son. And he was going to put his son through for a doctor. Well, there's nothing wrong with putting the son through for a doctor, but he was working to that end. And she said, dear, don't you think that we're missing something? We're not giving the God his portion. Well, he said, I don't know. We give quite a bit. Well, she says, yes, but we're very haphazard about it. And if we would examine ourselves, sometimes we'd find that we're very haphazard about it too. So he said, well, how much are we supposed to give? What she said in the Old Testament, they gave 10%. That's what God demanded. Well, she said, I think we should, God bless the wives. Sometimes they're hard to get along with, but I tell you, John McCracken, he gave me a little, he said, God bless the wives, they fill our hives with little bees and honey. They ease her socks and mend her socks, but don't they spend the money? I guess you got it in Ireland. Anyway, she said, what we're going to do, we're going to get this little book, and we're going to give the Lord a tenth of everything we get. Well, he thought that'd be all right. And so, she took the little book and put a pencil alongside it, put it up on the shelf. And he told the story. He said, you know, that fall, we sold the turkeys, and we never got so much for the turkeys as we got that fall. And just as I was counting the money, she comes along with the little book. And I said, what are you going to do with that? She said, don't you remember? Well, it's easy to forget. She said, we're going to give the Lord a tenth. And he said, I looked at the little book and I looked at the pile of money. And he said, the first thing that came into my mind, I wish they hadn't taken it so much. To take so much. But anyway, his stingy old fingers. You know, God does it. An empty hand is the sign of a graceless heart. And so, she got the money, and they put it away. And then he sold the wheat. And another big pile of money. And it came. And then they began to pray what they'd do with it. And he tells the story himself. And by and by, they prayed and God laid it upon their heart to send money to some missionary. And the missionary wrote back and told about the great need. And then they got all stirred up and exercised. And instead of sending his son through for a doctor, he thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if my son had become a missionary? Oh, dear brother and young brother, there's greater things than being a doctor. There's greater things than being a lawyer. There's greater things than being a president of the United States. Poor old Reagan over there. Did you pray for him today? Over there in Iceland. God bless that dear man. A man of integrity, I believe, we should pray for the powers that be. But I think, oh, how miserably small his little life is in comparison with what God has given for a Christian to do. And so the story goes that instead of becoming a doctor, he became a missionary. And he went out to do a great work for God. And that father and mother were blessed. Why? Because in all their ways they acknowledged him. I trust all you preachers give God his portion. I used to think when I went to school, when I went to church, and I saw the plate going around the pastor, the minister, oh, he doesn't have a thin collection, does he? I tell you, we're a people that are blessed, those of us who minister the word of God. God's people certainly minister to our needs. And I do believe that we should be above everyone else an example of giving God his portion. There's need all around us. There's poor Christians. There's widows. Oh, you say they get the family allowance and they get the mother's allowance and so on. So what? Encourage them. Give them a 50 once in a while. And let them spend it the best way they will before God. You're giving it to the Lord. And I do believe, dear brethren, those of us who minister the word, the Lord's people showers money upon us. And if we're not faithful in giving out, God won't give to us. Maybe that's the reason our ministry is so dry sometimes. Oh, may God stir us up in all thy ways. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Well, I must hurry on. So there's the recipe for prosperity as a Christian. Give the Lord his portion. Take it out first. And you'll see that the rest will go a long ways. If you just give what's left over, and Mr. Harris used to tell us the story about the boy that they get up and after dinner, he gathered up the scraps around, and there's little pieces of steak and everything, he's going to take them coolly to the hideout. And his mother saw him and she said, Johnny, you can't do that, that's good meat! So she gathered up the peelings and some old bones and stuff
and she put them on the plate, and he went over grumbling, and he said, "Fido," he said, "I had an offering for you, but Mum gave you this collection." Well, whether that was really the thing or not, it illustrates a lot of God's people never see what they give to the Lord as an offering. It's just a mere collection. Just what we have left over. If you want to prosper as a Christian, give God his portion. And brother, if you've never done it, start right away. And you'll see that it'll be a real blessing to your soul. And you'll find all kinds of holes or all kinds of sacred places to deposit it. And remember, you can't take it out with you. Dear old Selby died and left a big heritage of stores, but he never took one with him. Not one. I don't know what he sent on before, but you can't take anything along with you. No pockets in the shroud. So what you're going to get up there as reward, you'll have to send it on ahead of time. And young people, give God his portion. You started out, I think there's someone here today, I haven't seen them yet, I didn't get shaking hands at everyone. A girl here in Cape Breton. And one morning, we had some company at the house. Now, this doesn't obtain today, but there was days. And we had the frying pan on, but there was nothing to put in it. We were hoping that by mail time there'd be something for dinner. And sure enough, mail came about 10 o'clock. The mail came about 10 o'clock. And in through that little hatch on the door came a letter. And it was from a dear girl. She's here today, I'm sure. I don't know whether I ever told her or not. But I opened that letter. And there was a $2 bill. She had won it in the school. She had got that was the first money evidently that she had gotten. I think she got $10. I get $2 of it. Mr. McElwain got $2 of it. And I know that there was another preacher who got $2 of it. But Pam Pam and the company that day was supplied. How? Through the exercise. The dear Christian. Oh, there will be rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Young person, whatever you do, honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of all your increase. I must hurry on, as I said. We come to the next, and it says there in Ephesians chapter 6, there, as we get the armor, he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he goes on to say, and having done all to stand, all. Well, it's not enough to put on some of it. But he says, having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having done all to stand. And I want to tell you, dear brethren and sisters and younger people, we're under attack today, as we heard in prayer. Christian homes are under attack. The assemblies are under attack. Young people are under attack. There's a cruel devil, and he's out to ruin every one of us. And what he does, it's little by little. No harm in this, no harm in that, no harm, but no. You know, you pump the gas tank to get the car filled up with gas. And you look here, I saw it just the other day. And it says, I think it's 46 cents here, 45 cents. I filled up here in Nova Scotia. I said, that's cheap. Cheap. We're paying nearly 50. Now, why I tell you this, it shows you the world under the control of Satan, this is the way it works. And this is the way the devil works in spiritual things. I want to ask you, 10 years ago, if I'd have driven up to a gas tank, and I saw that I was going to get a liter, not a quart, but I was going to get a liter of gasoline for 46 cents, I'd have said, that's outrageous. Why, I was getting a whole gallon for that. Why'd they say it was cheap when I saw 46 cents for a liter the other day? You see, I've been conditioned. And that's the way the world is working today. You see? prices go up, then they come down, you say it's cheap. You're conditioned to think that it's cheap. But really, 10 years ago, it would have been a tremendous price. And so that's the way the devil works on us as Christians. And what the devil is doing today, he's conditioning the world for the Antichrist. And we as God's people are the salt of the earth. Now when the salt loses its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Brethren, if we don't produce the salt, the poor world is going to go faster to corruption. And as you've been hearing, don't let the world pour you into its mold, but mold the world around you by the renewing of your mind. I'm preaching this to you young men and young women. You older ones can listen in too. Your life's pretty much over. You're not going to make much of a mark for God now if you didn't start yet. I'm preaching it to you. You're just starting out. And it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We don't know what his wiles are. We know what his purposes are. He's an enemy of all righteousness. But we don't know where he's going to attack us. We don't know. And that's why we need to have on the whole armor of God. Now, if you acknowledge God in all your ways, in all your ways, you know, you'll be foolproof. No. You'll be Christ-proof against the attacks of the devil. If you don't know where he's going to attack you. Dear young girl said, she said, I just got restored to God 2 weeks ago. She said, I never thought it would happen to me. I said, what happened? Oh, she was a bright shining beam in the home. I know. I want to speak to you young men. It was a young man jilted that girl. He led her on with the thought that he was interested in her. And when it came to the crunch, he was just playing around. He wasn't interested. And that dear girl got so discouraged, she went to work in the place. She fell in with an unsaved man, and she married him. The dear girl, she was at one of her conferences not long ago. I don't know whether she's here today or not. And I told her about another girl who went on well for God, but I said she's getting married today to an unsaved man. She said, I wish I could have seen her before she got married. That would do no good. A backsliding heart is filled with the wrong ways. You couldn't have persuaded her. How did she learn? She learned by experience. And so, you don't know how the devil is going to wreck your life. But he can cripple you as a Christian. And I'd say to you young men, never trifle with the affection of a young sister. Make her think you're interested in her, and then let her down. Now, it's possible to make a mistake. An honest mistake, and say, well, I don't think we're for each other, and we should terminate this. That's honorable. But there are so many have been wrecked by this, and that's one of the devil's wiles. Watch your company. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And that's one of his wiles. Now, I read you there in Hebrews 13, and Paul says there, you notice what I said? We're on the right of the Hebrews this morning. I believe it was Paul. James, I believe it was Paul who wrote the Hebrews. All the ancient fathers believed it was Paul. Martin Luther believed it was Paul. And I believe it was Paul too. Anyway, that's aside from the question. We're not going to argue that. But he said that we have a good conscience in all things. Brother, how's your conscience? He says, willing to live honestly, having a good conscience in all things. Now, is there some little area that you haven't got a good conscience? Yeah? Huh? What about that magazine you read? When some of the Christians go in? Huh? Well, Mom comes into the room. What about under the mattress? Oh, she'll never look under the mattress. She might look under the bed. She'll never look under the mattress. I tell you, you got a good conscience about your reading material? You got a good conscience? Oh, yeah. There's a TV in the home, isn't there? Shame upon us, but it has invaded the Christian home. I come out of a service station there yesterday, and I said to my wife,
I was in there waiting to get waited on, and there it is all arrayed. And I just took a squint at them there. Restricted. 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 You say we can control it. You dear brother, you bring it into your home. Thou shalt not bring an accursed thing into thy house. And I'm going to tell you that these things are so accessible that the dear young Christian can get a hold of those things, feed them into that thing that has developed out of the TV. That thing has already, as one man said, it had pups. And there it is. The video. The greatest curse that the devil has ever invented. And the mafia is making millions out of it. And oh, how lovely. A nice movie. Oh, I could watch the thing day in and day out. I wouldn't want to be within reach of it. I tell you. But these are things that I'm telling you about. You say the home is not being invaded? Have you got a good conscience about your reading material, brother or sister? And all these books today, Christian novels, it's a denial of terms. There's nothing novel about Christianity. Christianity is a reality. And Christian novels are a misnomer. And they always end up and they lived happily ever after. And some of the things that they insert into them will defy your mind just the same as the old restricted movie. Just takes a little thought and away she goes. A good conscience in all things. Have you got a good conscience? Have you got a good conscience about how you spend your money? We have a saying at home when we make a little spurge sometimes, maybe you go for a meal and say, oh, we don't go to dances and we don't go to shows. You know, children used to say that. Well, it wouldn't hurt to splurge a little because we don't go to dances and we don't go to shows. We don't go to exhibitions and stuff. Have you got a good conscience of how you spend your money? Have you got a good conscience of how you do your business? Have you got a good conscience how you put through that last deal? He says a good conscience in all things. Brother or sister, I want to tell you, if we haven't got a good conscience, we might be able to preach. You know, you can preach after getting used to it, and you can get up and preach. Oh, the spiritual might detect something, but the rank and file might not detect much. And I can visit the hospital, and I can be given out tracts, and oh, there's something I can't do. There's something I can't do. If I haven't got a good conscience, I can't pray. And I can't worship. I have to have a good conscience. And he says a good conscience in all things. And there's no place in a Christian's life where they can sacrifice a good conscience. Oh, may God speak to us. And I'm going to sit down now by looking at the last one there. He says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. My, that's lovely. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Here is a recipe for contentment and lack of worry. I think it was Matthew Henry's father that said these words. Our minds should be as clear from worry as our conscience is from guilt. You think that over. Is your conscience clear from guilt that you'll never come into the judgment for your sins? How about the worry? I was flying with Brother Murray a little while ago.
Mr. Hall doesn't like it. Too much you don't do this flying.
He likes the car better. Isn't that right? Huh. We're up 11,000 feet. We're coming from up north there. We're in the clouds. And I happen to be reading the Epistle of John by Lincoln. And if you ever read it, you'll enjoy it. I've read it over 2 or 3 times recently. But when he came to that, perfect love casteth out fear. And boy, I had a hard job to swallow that up 11,000 feet in the clouds. It says nothing can happen to you anymore than it could happen to Christ. That's what Lincoln brings out. And I try to relax. You know, I try to get back in the seat and relax. But you know, it's quite a thing. But I believe that's what God would have for us. That if we if we're casting all our care upon him, if she goes down, then I go to heaven.
You try to put that into practice when you're up 11,000 feet. I tell you, it's quite a thing. Or when you get sick and you're going in for an operation, try to put it into practice.
I don't know.
But that's what it says. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And this is the secret and the recipe. All your care. All your care.